This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. All right, and we are live. What's up, brothers? Episode number 54 of the Before the Train Wreck series. Oh, this is cool. I love seeing this when you guys throw this up on the TV. So I'm your dinner mate tonight. Pleased to be there for you. All right, guys, here we go. Let's hop right into this. This is a big requested topic. So on the community tab of the channel, I posted an ask the other day. I said, you guys tell me what you want to see for another episode or the next episode of Before the Train Wreck. And one of the most upvoted ones was spotting liars. I know you guys really want to focus on, spotting when women lie to you, especially in the first few dates, I think was one of the first comments that popped up. I will be dealing with that. I'll also be dealing with spotting liars in general so you guys can make better choices and not create a train wreck out of your life. If you didn't see the video last week, I got a follow-up to that. I did a Cold Hard Truth episode about why you should name your sons and not the mother. And long story short is a good chunk of mothers do name their sons after their alpha widowed, meaning the guy that got away for them. So that was an interesting bit. There was a little segment from Reddit that I poured out, but let me pull up the tweet because I figured, you know, because I always get that, well, men do it too, guys do it too. So I'll throw it up here on the screen. It's currently running. It's a Twitter poll. I just put it out there earlier this afternoon. Men, have you ever named a daughter after an ex-girlfriend that broke your heart and dumped you? Basically, this would be the guy's equivalent of being alpha widowed by a chick. And so far with the poll results, we've got almost 1,500 votes. 96.5% of you men said no, you've not named your daughter after an ex-girlfriend that dumped you, but 3.5% of you have, which is interesting. So we'll see how that pans out over the next day as it collects the data, but I thought I'd share that with you since that seemed to be a pretty popular topic. If you didn't see that video, go back a week in my video feed. It's just titled Why Fathers Not Mothers Should Be Naming Their Sons. It's a pretty short one. It's like less than 10 minutes long. All right, let's get right into this here because I got a few notes here on the side. If you guys have any questions or super chats, I'll keep an eye out over here. I'll drop the join link for the last bit of the show. I'm going to aim to go for about 60 to 90 minutes. 90 minutes tops. I have to get off and do another private broadcast afterwards. So if we've got time at the end, I'll definitely drop the join link and you guys can pop in and ask a question relevant to tonight's topic, please. Let me go right into this here. By the way, if you guys are just getting the notification from YouTube, please smash the like button. Let's the algorithms know that you've enjoyed this and other people should check it out in their feed as well. Grab my notes up over here. What should we start with? I guess, you know, seeing through women's lies seemed to be the most important one to you guys that were voting on this topic. It was the one that ignited the broadcast anyway. I've come prepared tonight. I've got my notes. Do not trust anything she tells you until you know her intimately. There's a famous quote, I think, that originated in the 80s. I believe it came from Ronald Reagan, but it was trust but verify. So you need to keep a diligent view of her behaviors versus what she says. Doesn't matter what she says about birth control, notch count, STDs, anything she tells you, trust it. but verify it and protect yourself first. Okay. Not just let's go raw dogging for fun, guys. Be smart about stuff like this. You need to get your head clear around what it is that you're dealing with. But a lot of dudes just bypass clarity completely. That's how you guys end up in train wrecks, if we're being honest. So next note I got here is on social media and why it's great for this. So in no time in history have we ever had an opportunity to verify the things that people say to us. Everybody's got a footprint on the internet. I do, you do. My mom and dad does. Everybody does, right? Whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to leave a little imprint as far as what you're up to. There's a lot that you can do. There was a special department in the collection industry that used to specialize in something. Hey, Seth, what's up? That used to specialize in something called skip tracing. And they would use some pretty interesting techniques to try to get people to give up information that they wouldn't otherwise give up. Actually, let me spend some time on that before I continue down the lies list and the woman area about dating and all that you guys wanted me to focus so heavily on. There's always been a way for companies, people, individuals to do this thing in the past. They used to, in fact, back in the day, we used to, back at the agency, we used to mail out these mailers to update their information. And I can't remember exactly what was on the outside of the envelope because it was so long ago. It was 15, 20 years ago. But you'd be surprised the amount of people that would volunteer information that they wouldn't normally give up just because they got a piece of mail in that said, tell us more about yourself. And you'd get the information that would be useful to go and pursue the person either in court, to contact them for collection purposes or whatever it might have been. There's other tips and techniques that they used to use where they'd leave messages for neighbors and other things like that, or employers, or they contact the HR department, all kinds of strategies. Some of them are probably still used today. But there's a huge amount of information that can come your way through social media. It's really, really good for what did you do last night? You know, hey, what'd you get up to last night? Ah, nothing. I got up to nothing. But they'll forget that they posted a picture of themselves out with their girlfriends or some other dude, or maybe it's just some strategically placed, you know, Instagram post where they've got a picture of their wine glass just sitting up there with a candle and a fire roaring in the background and feet up sort of thing. And there's more to that story. There's always a story behind the story. There's always something going on behind the camera that causes you to ask questions. Yeah. So it's actually gotten to the point where women can be so ignorant to the facts that they're chasing so much attention on social media that they expose themselves with their behaviors. They leave a little breadcrumb trail. You know, the story about I'm not seeing anyone else. I remember this one time. I can't remember what the hell we were talking about, but she hands me her phone because she wants me to read a text message. And it had something to do with this woman that she was interested in. She was bi. And then she goes and runs off to go and talk to another girl that she wanted to flirt with. And I'm here left with her phone and I'm done reading it. And she had just literally finished telling me that she wasn't talking to any other guys. I never asked for any information, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I close it. And then as the text message closes, it obviously goes to the message list with all the names and the messages that have been in her phone. And she's off there 50 feet away trying to pick up this girl. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, you know, it's got the typical Kevin from sales, Steve from accounting, you know, Kyle from accounting, Bob the pool boy, you know, Chad from the bar sort of thing. Because that's how most people operate when they're dating or spinning plates, is they've got first name and then occupation. You know, Chad the veterinarian, you know, Paul the doctor, you know, Kevin from sales, of course. So I'm looking at the phone and I'm just like, I scroll out. I'm like, wow, there's 20 there easily. And they're all recent. So I click through one or two of them. It's like, oh yeah, she's not talking to anybody else, right? I don't know why she told me that. I'm not really sure what the strategy was. But one of the things I was going to mention in this is I kind of go down through this list of notes over here is that the truth always finds its way back to you at some point. So that was one story there we have from the women's lies. Here's another one. Okay, so scenario number of years ago, woman runs off and goes out with her girlfriends. Okay. She ends up in a bar that night with her girlfriend, some kind of karaoke bar or something like that, I think it was. She ends up picking up this guy, spending the night with him, so she's banging him, obviously. Haven't seen her for a couple weeks. She wants to get into the relationship again. She wants to, you know, pull you in, sort of thing. Okay, so what's been going on? What have you been up to? You've been seeing anybody else? You banging anybody else? You know, the standard blue pill narrative that most guys will ask. Hi, I've got the t-shirts. Oh, no, I'm not banging anybody else. Find out later, a couple weeks later. And the amount of mental gymnastics that people will go through, this isn't just women, but we're using this specific to women because most of my audience here is men, and you're asking me to kind of see through women's lies, especially the first couple of dates is what you were specifically asking for. But this is just to illustrate the level of mental gymnastics that someone will go to hide their past promiscuous behavior, anything that may not be particularly favorable. They'll say, no, I'm not sleeping with anybody else, or I'm not seeing anybody else. But in their mind, they rationalize the one night stand, and then they kind of, you know, file it away under the past, never to be brought to the surface again. And again, the truth comes out eventually within a couple of weeks, and you find out that, you know, she was off having her little fun that evening when she was throwing a hissy fit. Which, by the way, guys, if you haven't gotten the chapter that I've dropped on red flags, you need to grab it right there. It's in the bottom. I'll pin it to the top comment of my video. Hissy fits is one of them. It's an important one to understand because there's a lot of lies that can get pulled in and a lot of bad behavior that can be problematic for men. So if you haven't got that free chapter, book's still in the works. It's an edit. It'll be out soon. Don't worry, guys. Stop worrying about when it's coming out or asking me. It's coming. Let me hide that there. There we go. So they'll go and rationalize these mental gymnastics in their head about, well, I'm not seeing anybody else, or I'm not banging anybody else, or I haven't seen anybody else. But the one night stand doesn't fall into that category. It falls into a oopsie, and then they kind of file it away and put it away, you know, as if it never happened. Hopefully we'll just forget about it because only her and her girlfriend know about it. So you can't take things at face value. Again, it's a whole, all right, let's hear what she's got to say and then just watch the behavior and see if there's a conflict. And when you start to get good at that, like there's no magic, cream that you rub on yourself or a pill that you take that gives you these, you know, unbelievable powers of the truth monster, you know, like the lasso, whatever the hell, who is that superhero? Wonder Woman, you know, the lasso of truth. You're never going to get that. It doesn't exist. But when you start getting good at watching behaviors versus what they're saying and understanding female nature and in the different times of their life, like we know that there's party years, there's epiphany phase, there's post-epiphany phase, then there's a consistent set of behaviors that will follow those areas of their lives. And I've talked about those so many times on my channel. If you haven't watch most of the Red Pill playlists, go to it. Just go to the channel, organize playlists, and just binge watch a bunch of those. There's tons of nuggets of gold in there. I mean, I could turn it into a 3-hour long stream and explain it all, but it's already been dealt with in smaller sound bites. Most of those videos are about 10 minutes or less. So you have to understand that there's a good level of mental gymnastics that people can go through to rationalize any indiscretions they've had in the past that may not let them look favorable, that they'll try to sweep under the rug. Yeah, by the way, Santiago, this shirt, if you want it, it's in the merch store. I think it's just beneath the like button and the view count. So you can take a look at it over there if you want to grab one. So we have the mental gymnastics. Ooh, pathological liars. I have to hit on this story. This is a good one. So first girlfriend when I was, I don't know, 19 or 20 or something like that. I used to ride motorcycles back in the day. Okay. So I had this 91 Suzuki Katana 600 black bike. I think I had a Hindle pipe on it. It sounded great. No, it was a Yoshimura pipe. The Hindle was on my Gixxer after that. And this girlfriend of mine at the time, she was always talking about this motorcycle that she had that was stored at her mom's house 45 minutes away, about 45, 50 minutes away was where she said her mom lived. She was living with her dad. She was 19. I was 20 at the time, I think. And for some reason, this bike was never available. She'd always tell me, oh, yeah, you know, we'll go out riding. And I'd say, okay, so get the bike and let's go out for a rip. It was never available. I was always hanging out with my friends and she wanted to tag along. I'm just like, get your bike and let's go out for a rip, right? So the story kept going on for months about this Ninja, how it was at her mom's place and she couldn't get it for various reasons, or it was in storage, or it needed a new tire, or whatever the excuse was. And after a while, I started, like, even at that young age, I started to clue in, okay, there's something not right here, because she keeps talking about it, but it's not available. And I was getting gas for the bike one time. And I thought to myself, you know, the bike takes like 5.5 gallons or 5.5 liters? I think it was about a 20 liter tank, which at the time, at the price of gas, would have cost like 12, because you'd never go right down to empty, about just above reserve. It would be, I think it cost me about 11 or 12 bucks to fill up. And a car at that time would have cost about 25 to 30 minimum. So I said to her one time, I go, yeah, so your Ninja, how much does it cost to fill up the tank on that thing? And she was like, oh, yeah, 30 bucks. Right, you know, right then and there, I called her on it. I actually snapped, because I'm like, you know what? You've been lying to me about so many things this entire time. And she ended up putting me and my health at risk a couple of times. This chick, she was a pathological liar. She would build this house of cards of lies and BS. And I don't know if it was to try to make herself look good. It was to try to hide something that she didn't want to be revealed. She wanted higher social standing. It was probably a combination of all those things at the time. But the pathological lies built this house of cards. And if you've ever seen a house of cards, all you really have to do is blow on it or sneeze and the thing will fall over. So if you're attentive to what people are saying versus what they're doing and look for holes in the story, a lot of people, when they're telling you stories, there'll be more holes in Swiss cheese, if you know what I'm saying. And you'll get better at pointing it out. It's going to be a lot easier to note these things and find them as you are more attentive to their behaviors versus what they're saying. So again, there's no real magic wand you can wave to see through their lies in the first couple of dates, or any kind of tests that you can run through them. You know, I've got the famous coffee test, which is in one of my most popular videos on the channel. I don't have a test to detect her lies. It's really a matter of watching the behavior, collecting data points. You know, you can't, they always used to tell me when I was managing my receivables team back in the collection industry in the days in my early 20s, you can't manage what you're not measuring. So you would always collect data points on certain staff members, on certain recovery rates and curves with different portfolios, the liquidation rates, how many NSFs you would get, stuff like that. And they would cluster somewhere. And that cluster of data points would always tell you the truth about what's going on with the health of the portfolio, with what's going on with your staff member, how to evaluate them. And that's a lesson that I learned early on in my life that I've applied to other areas as well. You've got to get good at collecting some data points, and you're not going to get them in the first date or two. You're going to get them over a period of time as you get to know the person better and better. And again, guys, you should never just restrict yourself to one person. You should early on most definitely spin plates. So at least that way you don't end up in a situation where you have an unhealthy attachment to one woman if it doesn't go right, or if she's, you know, if she turns out to be a little bit on the cuckoo for Cocoa Puff side. You have to be careful. So just carry on about your business. Don't take anything too seriously. Watch the behavior, collect some data points, and just understand that if there's a cluster of data points somewhere, it's not lying to you. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, okay? So don't ignore the facts. One of the biggest mistakes that guys make when it comes to detecting lies that create train wrecks in their lives is they'll ignore them, and they'll ignore them for the dumbest reasons. Oh, she's so pretty, or oh, she's the best sex I've ever had in my entire life. And we rationalize this nonsense in our head for whatever reason. guys are a lot better at it when they're younger. They like to rationalize BS and lies, and they'll kind of set them aside. Oh, that can't be true. She's just so pretty, and there's never been a woman this gorgeous ever interested in me before. How could she possibly lie to me? Why would she lie to me about stuff like that? You know, I always say guys like to complicate their lives and to justify why they do it. But the truth of the matter is, you have to take a lot more ownership for the people that you let into your life, men and women, you know, friends, business partners, and of course, women. Let me grab the super chat real quick here, Neo. One of the best ways to open your eyes to see women's true nature is when you are the other guy. Yeah, very, very true. Amazed at how much trash they talk about their boyfriends. Co-sign that 100%. There's whenever you're the other guy, whenever you're the guy that she confides in about how she feels about, I don't know, maybe her boyfriend, her husband, or something like that, her fiance, at some point, you're probably going to end up being, you know, the other guy, because women have a dualistic mating strategy. We already know that, you know, alpha seed, beta need, you know, and it wanes and it moves in time depending on where they are. So they're not going to be particularly honest with you. You've got to trust the behavior and patterns and the collection of data points above what she's telling you. Whenever there's a disconnect, believe the data points. Don't believe what she's telling you. You've got to be super careful with that. How much time are we in here? We're 20 minutes in. We're doing pretty good so far. We'll probably able to get to some calls tonight. Here we go. Monitoring behavior versus words and filtering. There's going to be known, unknown, and stuff that's known that you should know as well, sitting in your blind spot. Okay, so let's just call them blind spots, basically. You've got the known and the unknown, and you've got the blind spots. Again, I like to reference motorcycles because I just used to love bikes so much. They were such a good time for me. You've got, like, with my vision right now, I can of course see to about here with my hands. Anything behind my hands, I can't see out of my peripheral vision. Yeah. And then of course, if I was in a car, I'd have a rearview mirror and I could see behind me. Or if I was on a motorcycle, I could see just over my shoulders. But there's always something just sitting in your blind spots, and they always tell you to check your shoulders whenever you do a lane change on a motorcycle. I still do it to this day. Whenever you see me recording a video in the car, I'm always looking over my shoulder before I make a lane change. Catch me if you ever see me change lanes. And I don't, but I guarantee that it happens almost 100% of the time. So there's these things that are sitting in your blind spots that you need to filter. The known should be obvious to you because you see it. Okay. Your eyes will not fool you. They will tell you the truth. They will tell you the facts. The stuff in your blind spots is stuff that you can just barely see out of your peripheral. And you just have to kind of tilt your head a little bit more here and there to see a little bit better. Your friends will see it. Other people around you from different perspective, depending on where they're looking, will see it. There's a reason why we have our eyes in the front of our heads, by the way, guys, because we're predators. Okay. Animals that are not predators, they have their eyes on the side of their heads. That's why you see animals like deer with their eyes on the side of their head. But anytime you see an animal with its eyes in the front of its head, the stereoscopic eyes for depth perception, we only have a very limited field of view. The reason why deer can see, you know, left and right to them and almost to the front is because they're vegetarians. They eat grass and stuff like that. So they got a wider field of view. So there's always going to be some things sitting in your blind spot if you're not attentive to them. All you got to do is tilt your head a little bit and look. Okay. There's other people that might see it, that might point to it, that you don't want to hear from them because it violates a belief that you have about that person. Oh, she would never do that. She's too kind. She's too pretty. She's too insert whatever reason. But maybe they're seeing something that you're not seeing. Make a note of it. Keep an eye out for it. Ask the question. How much does it cost to fill the gas tank of your motorcycle? $30? Bullshit. There's no way I could put more than $12 in the tank. You have to figure out ways to look for opportunities. And you have to get good at this, guys. This is a life skill. If you can't get good at spotting BS, you're not going to be highly successful at life. If you can't get good at spotting BS with women, let alone in business, you're not going to be great at life. Okay. So it's a skill that you're going to need to learn. Yeah. Intuition. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So again, it should be obvious to you. Let's grab a drink of my tea here. Let's talk about friends, because I think that's important to have a conversation about too. So your best friends, and I thought that this was something that was just unique and special to me. You know, how is it that my best friend could only screw, you know, would screw me over? I'll tell you the story in a minute. I was in Cabo with a bunch of other entrepreneurs. We were on this off-road retreat. We did 600 miles off-road. We're sitting at this restaurant. We're shooting the shit, and we're talking about some of the struggles we had in life. I think there was about 10 or 11 of us sitting around the table. And I think all of us had a story about being double-crossed by one of our best friends. Your best friends will lie to you. They will. Especially if it enriches them financially. If you've got something going on and they don't, or they don't have something as relevant or as important or may have as much impact. And a lot of it, I believe anyway, comes from jealousy somewhere. But if they have an opportunity to do something that might double cross you, it can, and it enriches them somehow, I would not put it past any of my friends. Okay. The only people that I trust is my brothers. That's it. Blood is thicker than water. Anybody that has an opportunity, a friend, can double cross you. Hey, listen, blood can do it too, man. I know at least a couple of people that have been double crossed by family. So what happened here with this story? My friend lied right to my face. This guy I had known for 20 years. I hired him and I housed him. When he was breaking up with his girlfriend, he had nowhere to go. I just got my first house. I had room in the house. I offered for him to stay with me. His mom even called me begging me to house him in my place because she was 5,000 miles away. That was his closest relative, you know, to be honest with you. So not only did I hire him in my business, I also housed him. And this guy basically colluded with one of my other staff members at the time and another guy that we were working with that basically had a revenue split model working with. They had colluded to basically take my business model, take my customer list and my contracts and go and set up a competing business. And I had suspected, my intuition said to me, hey, you know, you might want to take a closer look at this. And he was still living under my roof at the time. And I confronted him. I said, hey, let's go for a walk. We went for a stroll for about 10, 15 minutes. I just looked him in the eyes and I said, hey, look at me in the eyes here. Are you doing this, that, and the other thing? Because my spidey senses are tingling. And he looked me back in the eyes and he said, no, I'd never do that. Not only did he lie directly to my face, but I also confirmed it about a week and a half later. And that's when the shit hit the fan. That's when it went upside down. I ended up initiating a massive lawsuit against him and the people that he colluded with and put them in checkmate. Now, here's the thing, guys. One of the lessons that I learned at that time, my lawyer taught me this lesson. I've learned a few lessons from lawyers in my life, believe it or not. They're expensive as hell, but they teach you lessons. Because that process took about 6 months. He said to me, the truth has a way of finding its way to you. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, because when we launched the lawsuit, I knew it was going on, but I didn't have enough evidence to completely destroy all three of them. You know, sue them into the Stone Age, as you've heard some people say before on television. But he said to me, he goes, the evidence has a way of coming to you. So he goes, if you just take it slow and wait, you'll probably find that it'll come your way. And it did, sure enough. There was this chick that he was colluding with who was outside of the scope of the three of them, who started to contact my office, speaking to me and speaking to my brother. And then she started to reveal what was going on, how he had gone about stealing contracts and you know, making up all these stories and lies and trying to get the customer list. And we ended up getting everything that we needed, and they ended up having to settle. So if you're patient and protective of your assets, and if you're running a business, guys, believe it or not, the business is a pretty strong asset. You should be very, very careful about who you let into your inner circle. You know, people sometimes get confused when I say something like, you know, I've got two simple rules basically for me in my life today. I don't work with losers and I don't work with people that work with losers. Oh, you know, we're watching your channel. How could you call us a loser? I'm not talking to you. If you draw a perimeter around your inner circle, the five most important people to me, they're in that, you know, they are within that perimeter. And then there's probably a larger perimeter outside that might have a dozen people and it goes out from there sort of thing. It's like a bullseye. You know, you have a series of perimeters and the people on the inner circle get the most intimate, you know, all the 411, all the details, if you will. If you're watching somewhere else in the world, you know, 411 here basically means you punch the numbers on the phone, you get information. Sometimes I use lingo that I know doesn't always make sense. So with that inner circle, you have to be very protective about who you let into your inner circle that might have access to information about your wealth, family, anything else that's going on. And just because somebody's your best friend and may have been your best friend for 20 years and you've traveled the world and you've done stuff on motorcycles with and you've had fun with women with, it doesn't mean they've always got your back. Blood is always thicker than water. And just like a woman reserves the right to change her mind at any given time later on down the road about how she feels about you or even how she feels about a marriage or anything like that, friends will and can double cross you. And I've had it happen to me. And I have a number of close friends that I've had intimate conversations with in entrepreneurs group who have disclosed and confirmed the exact same thing. So don't for a minute think, oh, they're my best friend. They're never going to screw me. What was that movie? Knock Around Guys or Knock Around Boys? Great movie with Vin Diesel. I can't remember the names of the rest of the cast, but there was one classic scene from Knock Around Guys. Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. And that's exactly what some of your friends will do to you sometimes. That's exactly what women will do to you sometimes when they say, no, I'm not banging anybody else. Well, in their head, they do the mental gymnastics and they're not, you know, plural banging. It's just that one time that it happened and they just kind of file it away as a indiscretion that nobody needs to know about because only her and her girlfriend knew about it. So you've got to be attentive to those things. Dan, I'm going to get to your super chat in just one second. Let me just make sure I got all my thoughts here in that segment. Yeah. Jason, you're in the waiting area, just in the private chat. Just let me know if you wanted to ask a question or contribute. I'll pull you in if you do. Dan said, out of an LTR of 5 years, been red pilled for two. Dude, that's a generous super chat. Thanks for that. Since I've been red pilled, my LTR went downhill. I called her out on BS in double standards to the point I walked away. I told her to keep the ring. I take it as a combat loss. Do LTRs go south when red pilled? They can. Because what ends up happening when you update your beliefs, I say on social media, I crush comforting lies with the uncomfortable truths. So when you come to the realization of the uncomfortable truths about the way that the world works and some realizations that you may not want to face that, you know, lessons you can learn the hard way. I spent a lot of money on lawsuits. I spent a lot of time and resources on women that did not deserve that attention due to heartbreak, one-itis, whatever. And when you throw all of that out there and you start to realize that, hey, I was being stupid and I kind of feel like an idiot and I was, you know, taking advantage of her, whatever the narrative is that you arrive at in your head. Yeah, of course, some things will change. Of course, you're going to change your relationships. You're not going to allow certain people into your inner circle anymore that you previously allowed in there that didn't really deserve a seat at the table. You know, that's really what it boils down to. And it's okay to update those beliefs. It's totally normal. Let me see where we are here. So we covered business. Bullshit baffles brains. Let's talk about that for a minute. So this friend of mine, his dad or stepdad, actually, he used to have this lingo, bullshit baffles brains. And it's true. You can rhyme off all kinds of lyrics. People will rhyme off all kinds of lyrics to you and tell you stories. And sometimes the amount of bullshit can just baffle your brains and you just don't know how to connect the dots sometimes, maybe because you haven't developed your intuition yet. And you're just like, well, okay, I'll just believe what he says because that person fed me or they're pretty or, you know, they brought me that one deal for my business sort of thing. And that level of BS can take you down a dangerous path if you're not careful. So I think the way that Sean used to talk about, you know, vetting a woman for a couple of years before you allow her into your inner circle, you know, allow her into your life to make sure that you're clear about who it is that you're dealing with. I think it's important to understand that that shouldn't just be limited to a woman. I think it should be applied to many areas of life, including things like potential business partners or people that you want to get involved in deep transactions with. Even in the last couple of years, you guys have seen bizarre things happen with strange people. You know, bullshit baffles brains. Thankfully, my intuition is better than most, and I was able to pick up on it early, and I got out. But it can happen. It's a bizarre thing, but it can happen. All right, let's keep moving down here my list. Story about that lawsuit, covered that. Oh, yeah, the screen captures. Yeah, I forgot to mention the screen captures. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. So when my lawyer was talking about the truth finding its way to you, there was a woman that this guy had double-crossed, in a sense. And she started basically working as a double agent. Didn't ask her to, but she started basically playing him while talking to us and giving us the information that we needed for that lawsuit. So stupid people will make some mistakes along the way. And if you just kind of wait and you're patient with it, you try not to focus on it too much, which is hard because often, you know, when you put pride into your business and you want to build something that has some impact, that makes you money, that gives you a certain degree of recognition, you take a lot of pride in that and you want things to be done right and you want to protect that and you want to preserve it. So you're sometimes anxious about it. But one of the things that I learned from this lawyer was take your time, you know, have some patience with it. He was a good guy. He was one of the good guys. It wasn't like, you know, send me a retainer for 20 grand every month. It was like, look, we don't need to do anything this month. We'll let this letter sit here. We'll respond to it in 3 or 4 weeks. We'll deal with it then. But time has a way of bringing the truth to you, especially in situations like that, like I just described. Let's talk about fine-tuning your intuition, and then I'm going to drop the join link, and you guys can hop on and ask some questions before we wrap up this show. Give me a second here. So again, guys, this is the join link to ask questions, not to watch. So there it is in the chat. And fine-tuning your intuition. So I have two rules for that. First rule is generally don't second-guess it. Most guys will second guess it, especially if they're younger. You know, your intuition will say something like, hey, are you sure you want it? You know, it's like a little whisper. It's a little, hey, are you sure you want to get with this girl? She looks like she's kind of promiscuous. I bet she's got a big notch count. And then you're just like, shut up. It's like that little voice in the, you know, your shoulder, just like, go away. You know, she's giving me attention. But generally, you don't want to second guess it. It knows exactly what's up. It's like your gut. Okay. It's going to set aside all the BS. It's going to set aside how pretty she is, how big her boobs are. It's going to set aside the stories that the guy tells you about what a great business you guys are going to build together. All you have to do is watch the behavior and let your intuition pick up on it. Just sit back and watch. I had this other gig once, got introduced to this guy that wanted to invest in a business we were putting together. It was an indoor go-kart track. And he used to run nightclubs and bars and stuff like that. And he was real serious about it. So I'm like, okay, good, good. You know, this guy's serious about it. I'm going to go do all the work that we need because he wanted to do the investment component. And I would, you know, structure the facilitation of the rental agreement, the equipment, the carts, the charging ports, because we were looking at electric carts versus gas ones, all this kind of stuff. Long story short, it's a shit business to get into. The max it'll make is like 30 grand a month. And your overhead's quite high and you've got other liabilities too. But anyway, so, you know, this guy kept talking about it for months, but he would show up late for meetings when we needed some money to put down on a lease deposit. There was a story. There was an excuse. There was another story, an excuse the next time. After this happened about 3 or 4 times, I should have listened to my intuition the first or second time, but I burned through 3 or 4 months of my life going around, looking at space, doing some research on, you know, where are we going to get these from? Are they going to come from France? Because there's a distributor over here that has a pretty good setup. Are we going to get them from this company in Arizona? And we went through all, well, I did anyway. I went through all these steps. And then these other two guys, with the inclusion of the guy that wanted to be the main investor, just didn't show up. And it took me about 5 or 6 tries before I finally said, fuck this, when I could have said, fuck this after 1 or 2. So first rule with fine tuning your intuition is generally don't second guess it. The second rule is it generally doesn't need calibrating. You do. You're not listening to it. It's saying something to you. Okay. Again, sometimes it's that little voice in your head. It might be your gut telling you something's off. It's not your intuition that needs calibrating. Generally speaking, it's your ability to listen to it and trust it. And just give it a go. Instead of setting it aside next time when it speaks to you, just give it a go and trust it next time and see what happens and come back and tell me if I'm right or wrong. Jay, I'm going to pull you in, brother. Looks like you're, there you go. Can you hear me okay? I see you got an earbud in. Can you hear? You got yourself muted. Nope. Oh, we lost him. All right. Come back if you have a question that you guys want to ask. I'll drop that join link again. All right. So that's it for my notes. I think I covered anything. If you guys have any questions, drop them in the chat for me, okay? And I'll deal with those. Jay, you're back. Did you want to hop in? Yeah. All right. Let's try that again. Audio's not on. No, you're muted again. Try turning off the Bluetooth. Sometimes it does that with Bluetooth. I've seen that before. Just going to scroll up here and see if I missed any of the questions here in the chat while you try to figure that out, Jay. Turn people. No, looks like we got that one. No, looks like I caught up on all of them. Thanks. Okay, good. So I'll drop that join link in there again. You can put the chat in if you have a question, just drop it in there. There's a join link if you guys want to hop on. I'm potentially going to be on for another 20 to 30 minutes before I got to bounce because I got another private stream I got to do for community. Here we go. Constantine, let's grab that super chat. Jay, let me know in the private chat if you get your audio working. I'm just going to pull you out while you try to figure that out. I found people don't listen to people that acknowledge uncertainty. Should I hide legitimate uncertainty from others? I hate doing that. People don't listen to people that acknowledge uncertainty. I found people don't listen to people that acknowledge uncertainty. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you've got some uncertainty about something, that's okay. Marinate on that a little bit. Try to figure out why you're uncertain. Is there a reason why you're not feeling it? It's probably your intuition telling you to hold back. You generally hate listening to your intuition. That's a very good point. You know, most people, most guys anyway, me included, when I was younger, I hated listening to that little voice that said, hey, it seems like she's got a big notch count. Are you sure you want to get into an LTR with this one? It could fall apart. It could be problematic. Maybe she's out, right? And you just ignore it. So don't forget about that. Don't hide legitimate uncertainty from others. That's your intuition. That's what that is, Constantine. Ryan, I'll drop you in there if you want to hop on. You got audio going, brother? Three, yeah, bro. Two, one.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're good.
Hey, hey, thanks, Rich, again. Just not a fluff for your content, but if anyone hasn't joined your private community, I can tell you I've got so much benefit out of it since I've been in there. Been a little bit busy, so I haven't been able to contribute as much, but there is a lot of benefit there for those who are interested.
I'll drop the link there on the screen for those of you that might be interested.
So I'm still going through my training at the moment. I'm actually spending a lot of time reading over Robert Greene's Mastery. I'm really keen to get into my apprenticeship. I'm studying exercise at the moment, but I was just wondering if you'd be able to touch base on some more tips on dealing with the BS that you get from people in business. I hope to go out on my own eventually, not wanting to partner up with anybody, but go out on my own or at first while I'm doing my apprenticeship, working under people and just spotting the BS, when working and learning around other people.
Can you give me an example just so I get some more clarity around what you're confused with?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing my training. I'm getting getting my certificates and the education.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be doing placements and I'll be looking for work just to build up my experience. I think for me, it's quite important to learn my craft a little bit more before going out on my own. But I know that when I'll be dealing with people who'll be sharing their expertise or sharing their advice, there's probably some BS that in the BS and not really, you know, stick true to like my main purpose of, you know, what I want to accomplish with it.
Well, if there's anything that you're picking up on that's potentially BS, it probably is. I mean, is there a specific example there? Because you're
No, not
hesitant
really,
for a
because I'm not.
reason, right?
Well, you know, I've been exercising now for 5 years, and it's my passion for it is why I want to do it as a job. You know, I want to help people not only look good but feel good and actually take care of their body. But I see a lot of the times, even on social media, and that a lot of people are selling, you know, fads and fantasy courses or diets, and I'm worried that that may eventually influence me because it seems that's the only thing that's popular. I want to stick true to like my roots and what I believe is true. You know, giving the hard, like you say, the hard truths, the facts, the things that were going to help people. But in a business that's actually there's a lot of BS going on. You know, I don't want to get caught up in that. That's my biggest fear, really.
So here I'm going to share my screen because it's not that hard to spot. Do I have it here on the feed? There we go. So I've been on this tear lately on Twitter, tearing up these idiots running ads on YouTube about the cheat codes to life. Sign up now and you too can copy and paste the cheat codes to wealth and turn $200 into $114,272. Stop doing work. Your path to riches is in this video. Play life on God mode and begin now. Right over here, this is the actual screen capture. This dude is purporting to sell you his Keystone report and turn $200 into over 114 in 2 months. Guys, if it's too good to be true, sorry, I missed that point in my notes, but if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Okay. But the thing is, there's a lot of guys that succumb to this BS here. It's very attractive. It's very attractive. You know, it's like, you know, if you go down to one of these countries and you learn a week into your tour there, you know, in the Caribbean or I think like in Costa Rica, you know, for example, for like I only went to Costa Rica once, but I was getting hit on by these women at these different bars, like in ways that I've never seen in North America. And after a couple of days of being there, guys were telling me, oh, those are, you know, that's paid talent, you know, it's prostitution. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense now because it was too good to be true. Like they're never this friendly anywhere else in the world. They were also gross too. It was kind of like ones that you just kind of walk away from. But if it's too good to be true, like if the behavior is way off, that's your intuition calibrating itself and telling you, watch out for this dude. It's going to be a bad scene if you don't pay attention to it. Still there, Ryan? Can you hear me okay? I think we lost you. All right, I'm going to pull you out of the stream, but thanks for hopping on. Where are we? Yeah, you can join here if you want, Corey. You can hop in. So if you have a question, I see you in the Facebook chat. I've got an eye out for you, so you can pop a question in there for you, and I'll put it up, or just hit the join link. It's in the video part of the channel. There's a couple other questions here. Rumblefish, Rich, was there a time you had to stop lying to yourself about things, and how difficult was that process to practice self-honesty? What's a good practice to roadmap for guys turning that corner? Yeah, it is hard. Because somebody made a point here about religion. Where was it? This is a good one here. Randy said, raised extremely religiously and was brainwashed to think the little voice was either God or the devil. Blue pill was God and red pill was the devil. Yeah. You guys ever remember those cartoons when you were a kid? What was that series on? Was it Looney Tunes? Foghorn Leghorn? I can't remember, but there was a little alien and he had these two little aliens on his shoulder. And there was one that was a bad guy and one was a good guy. There's always some version of it, right? Or there's a black cape or a white cape or a black suit and a white suit sort of thing. And those little guys would be like the voice of reason in the ear and nobody else could see them. That's really what that is. It's your you know, it's your intuition. It's not the voice of God. It's not the voice of the devil. It's not a pill or anything. That's just your calibrated system, your lizard brain telling you to be attentive to something, right? It's still with you. The reason why sapiens are such a successful species, it's for many reasons actually, but one of the reasons why we're so successful is because we have a finely tuned intuitive system that can pick up on these things. But most guys tend to ignore them because they want to think that they're smarter than millions of years of evolution in their DNA. There's a reason why I see a sailing video on YouTube and I want to watch it. Like, I'm attracted to it. It's because it's in my blood, because we've sailed around the world for hundreds of thousands of years on boats. There's a reason why when I see a hunting video, I want to go and hunt a large game and learn how to gut it and eat that raw or whatever it is you got to do. There's a reason why we want to do that. It's because it's in our blood. There's the same reason why when we see something that doesn't add up, like when a chick tells us that they have a motorcycle that is somehow invisible, it's like Wonder Woman's invisible jet that cannot present itself for months. And you say to them, well, how much does it cost to fill up your bike? And somehow it's the price of a large car. You know, I could have said to myself, oh, you know, maybe this just has a large gas tank, and continue to lie to myself. But I was like, you see it. When you're attentive, you see it, guys. That's what that is. It's just your intuition. Pay attention to it. Mo, you want to hop on? I saw you there in the private chat asking about it. Let me just throw you on there. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
You're good. Fire away. What's your question?
Hey, so I just wanted to get maybe a financial advice from you. So I paid off all my student loans. I don't have any debt. I'm trying to buy my first house. What advice would you give me as a first-time buyer?
Where do you live?
I live in Denver, Colorado.
I don't know the market that well down in Denver, so not sure I can be that useful to you. But I think the last time you were on, you were talking about being in your late 30s, single guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's me.
Multi-family, man. See if you can grab yourself a fourplex, live in one of the units, rent out the other three.
Okay, that's a good idea.
That's always the best way to go. You want to have other people pay your mortgage if you can do it. I mean, if you're not running a family home and you don't have kids to raise or a wife to take care of or anything like that, multifamily residential, right? Like have them pay for the property, have them take care of it for you, because that asset's going to be worth something down the road as it appreciates over time. It's never always going to go up. It's going to go up and down, but over time it should be worth more.
Cool. All right. Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah. Is it related to tonight's topic? Please be related to tonight's topic.
Well, I was going to ask you, what was one of your biggest regrets? Like if you could change anything, like if you could tell yourself back 10 years, 20, like around my age, like maybe 5-6 years ago, what would you have done different?
Probably two things. One, spent less time believing that there's a one and putting up with crap that I didn't need to put up with women. So not seeing myself as the prize basically is what it really boils down to. I did it quite a few times in my 20s. You know, I stayed in BS relationships longer than I should have, a couple times at least. I remember there was this one that I stayed in my mid 20s for about 2 years monogamously. And she traveled back and forth. This is a video I did a couple weeks ago about long distance relationships. And she traveled back and forth from Toronto to BC and back again. I think she did it twice or something like that. And I wasted a hell of a lot of my time on her. And she was a train wreck. So there's that. And then the second thing I would say is take more risks younger in your 20s. You know, the series that I do with playing to win versus playing not to lose, mm-hmm. You should be playing to win more in your 20s. For sure. You should take bigger risks. You should not tell yourself, I can't do this. Or, I spent about 2 years writing notes in a notepad, kind of like this. This is my pad for today. And I remember I worked in this agency, and on my lunchtime, I'd read the newspaper because we didn't have internet back in 99 at this particular job. And I'd write notes in my notepad. based on articles, stocks, press releases, you know, whatever I could get my hands on, McLean's magazine, stuff like that, about business ideas. For about 2 or 3 years, I was jotting down ideas for businesses, and I didn't do anything until they fired me, until they let me go. Because they let me go because of fit. They didn't let me go because of my resume, because I could do the job very well, better than most, in fact. It's just that I was butting heads with my boss at the time. Mm-hmm. And I could have done that 2 years earlier, right? So they say that, you know, you should hire slow and fire fast. And I think that, you know, they say also in connection with that is, how do you know when you should get rid of somebody as an employee? And it's like the minute that you realize that you need to get rid of them. And I think the same thing applies to women. And I think the same thing applies to when you have good ideas and you're young too, because you have the ability to maneuver. You don't have any family or any kids to take care of, a wife or a house or a mortgage or anything. You can go and do it. But I was too much of a pussy back then. I was too much of a chicken.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for sharing. Appreciate
Anytime,
it.
Anytime, man. We'll see you later, okay?
All right, take care. Bye now.
All right. I'll go for another 10 or 15 minutes. I got a few people here in the waiting area. So, Jay, did you want to hop on? Did you get your audio fixed? No? Okay. Abhijit, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. You got a question?
Yeah, I have two quick questions. So the first one is, you had a 20-year friendship with a guy who ended up stabbing you in the back, right?
Yeah.
So does it sort of mean that if you're a guy, you basically always have to be on guard for your back, like always be expecting somebody to stab you in the back constantly?
Yeah, I think you need to be did you ever watch the Game of Thrones series?
I did, yeah. I got bored by the end of it, but yeah.
Yeah, did it shock you how many times people got screwed over in that?
A little bit here and there, but like you can kind of see the incentive, right? Why did someone do this? Why did someone do this? What's the reward in it for them, right?
Yeah, you know, like, and it wasn't even people that were not related. There was even blood-related backstabbings, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that shocking to me, right? Like as I was watching it. I wasn't that surprised, like, oh, I can't believe he shot his father, or I can't believe he did that to him, or I can't believe she did that to him, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a reality of life. And, you know, like I said earlier, you have to draw a perimeter around your inner circle, the five most important people in your life. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful about who those five people get to be and whether or not they're allowed to be within the perimeter. You know, Jack Donovan talks about in The Way of Men about how men need to form a gang. And guys that they can rely on, and there's trial by fire and there's tests and all sorts of things like that. And you should test people before you allow them in to the inner perimeter within the inner circle. When I hired my friend to work with me, I did not test him. The only pre-qualifier that he had was that he was my best friend for 20 years. How could he possibly screw me over? Why would he do that? And the balls on some people, because after all of that, he had the audacity within about a year of that to say, hey, I'm wondering if we can maybe get a coffee and, like, you know, let bygones be bygones and, you know, let water flow under the bridge. And I'm like, dude, you're a ghost. Like, fuck off. Like, you're dead. Okay. You're like, don't be surprised, because it will happen to every guy at some point in their life, especially if there's an opportunity for enrichment. The only person that I trust, like the most trustworthy person that I have, is my brother in my business, right? Because I've basically let him run it. And, he was the guy there in 2005 when all this shit went down with me and my best friend and these other couple people. And it was like in one day, 50% of my staff left and I had this huge problem and my customer list was gone. And I had these people that were colluding to compete against us for months, right? You know, we discovered when we were looking at emails and stuff like that. And I just said to him, I go, like, what do we do? And I basically had tears in my eye. He goes, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to fucking win, right? Like, we're going to do this. So there's very few people that you should allow in your inner circle and that inner perimeter when it comes to things like finance, access to anything that could potentially be dangerous to you. And you should also have the ability to walk away at any given time, especially during the vetting period, right? Like there's people that I've tried to do business with over the last couple of years that expose themselves for who they truly were, that I just told to pound sand, and they still don't shut up about it all day long on social media. But these people are out there, right? Like they're looking to enrich themselves because they don't have the capacity to go and do something on their own. So they're like leeches. Society has lots of leeches. And sometimes some of these leeches are your friends. You know, they could be friends, they could be women, but it's just a reality of the animal kingdom. Is there's a good chunk of the animal kingdom that enriches itself at the expense of others by leeching off them.
Okay. And I have one last question, if you don't mind.
Yep.
Cool. So the second question is, right now I work for a hedge fund. And based off of the current trajectory in the future, I'll get a opportunity to become a partner of the fund. So keeping to the topic that you have over here and knowing that you actually work with quite a lot of people who are partners for big companies, what sort of information should I be keeping an eye on whenever the discussions start? So that
what do
I
you do for the hedge fund?
I work in their quant team as their junior data scientist right now.
I don't have
so a AI researcher and machine learning.
Oh, AI researcher, yeah, okay.
That type of stuff.
Yeah, so you're the code guy then, right? So you're basically the guy from the geek department punching code into the computer to figure out, you know, the trading algorithms.
Yeah, lots of algorithm stuff.
Yeah.
With the finance guys.
Well, you got to look at it from this perspective: is are you irreplaceable? So you're a disposable commodity to the business as far as a resource. Because guys like you are smart. There's lots of guys like you getting pumped through the school system that can do the exact same thing that you're doing. So you're not particularly protected in any sense of the way. So from that perspective, the thing that you got to see whenever you work for somebody, the thing that you got to realize is you get hired for resume, you get fired for fit. So that's really what it boils down to as far as any kind of risk factor, right? But if you're working 40 hours a week doing your thing and everything's good and you're getting paid well and you're happy, I don't really see a huge risk factor or anything that you should be looking out for. But just, you know, just be attentive. How old are you?
I'm 23 years old right now.
Oh, you're young, dude. You got 23
years old.
Yeah. You got lots of opportunity to hone your senses and skills for stuff like that. Sorry, did you have a follow-up to that?
Yeah, the question was when the opportunity for becoming a partner to the fund comes up, because there are a few talks about it being made right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever the conversation does flow in there, I like to be sort of be prepared and sort of expect like, okay, Rich warned me about this possible BS and here they are spewing me that sort of BS, right?
Well, like I said,
get a bit of information.
Yeah, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? So if it stinks, just ask yourself, why does this stink? Why does this not feel right? Because that's your intuition picking up on it. I don't know a whole lot about hedge fund management and the algorithms that they use. I have a friend that's heavily involved in that business, but I'm not particularly interested in how he does it. But it's just tune your spidey senses, because when they tingle, they're telling you something.
Okay, cool.
All right, man. Thank you. Good. Corey, I'm going to pull you in just one second. I'm just going to follow up on this part two here. Constantine, part two, original was badly worded. I'm bad at speaking with confidence on topics I'm uncertain about and find ignorant people often get listened to when they're unreasonably certain advice. Well, if you're uncertain about something, you're not going to speak confidently about it. Like, ask me to speak confidently about hedge funds and them offering you a partner's position. I don't have any confidence about my knowledge around that. So I don't even dive into it. I don't know if that makes sense to you. You can always click the link and join in for something like that. I mean, I appreciate the super chats. They're always accepted with gratitude. But at the end of the day, you're going to have a hard time speaking with confidence on anything that you're not certain about. So find the certainty around it. Don't worry about what other people think about you. You know, you're talking about, you know, people and if they're ignorant or if they're listening or not, or if they're unreasonable, certain advice around that. Another piece of advice around that is don't worry about what other people think of you. You'd be surprised how little other people think of you. I mean, how many of you guys right now, there's lots of you guys watching this right now, are lying in bed right now thinking about, you know, other people or what are they thinking of me tomorrow? Or what are they going to think of me if I do this tomorrow? You probably spend more time, if you're in that mindset, thinking about other people's perception of you. And you have to stop giving a damn what other people think about you. It's, you know, it's a superpower when you stop caring about other people's opinions, if that makes sense. Corey, what's up, brother?
Hey, Rich. So I didn't get the first part of the show, so if this has been covered, I apologize. But I just wanted to talk for a second. Maybe you can comment on this thought, is that some of the biggest challenges we have in terms of lies are the lies that we tell ourselves, and are the lies that we've told ourselves to believe. And I think, to me, the biggest value in the red pill is just coming to terms with reality and with truth. That's the biggest thing for me. And if you can just comment on that or expand on that, you just sort of want to open that up for conversation.
Yeah, well, if you guys follow me on social media, I'm not using Facebook right now, but on Twitter or on Instagram, and you look at the comments and the feedback from people on like, if you say something like, I don't know, like a red pill soundbite might be something like, women hang out at the finish line and they pick the winner, or what's on this mug? Right there, right? Women don't care about your struggle. They hang out at the finish line and they pick the winner. There's a reason why I print this on mugs now, so you guys can have that daily reminder when you're having your coffee. But there's going to be people that are going to be vehemently opposed to the truth, because for some of these guys, the truth sounds like hate to those that hate the truth, right? Or there's the other soundbite that's tied into that, where if somebody has a problem with the facts, the problem isn't the facts, right? It's in fact with them. So that's going to happen. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with somebody saying, you know, I don't agree with that, and I'm going to tell you these 10 reasons why. And then they're going to call you misogynist, or they're going to point and sputter at you and say some other things that are not particularly relevant. But, you know, if this has been my experience my entire life, I can only look at it and say, this is factual. So I don't really care what their opinion is. You just have to get okay with that, right?
For sure. And I think too, like from my experience, where that has hurt me the most is when I have ignored red flags. You know,
yeah.
I see a red flag and I go, well, you know what, that doesn't matter that much. It's not that big a deal. I can deal with that. And then over time you just realize, I should have listened to that, because I don't want to deal with that every day. I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah, that's you know, that little voice that you hear in your ear, like let's use this example. There's always a guy out there that might have been in a marriage and his wife started saying things like, hey, you know, I think I'd like to get another guy involved in this. And then your little voice in the, you know, the back of your head says, well, Corey, are you sure that's a good idea? I'm not sure that's a good idea. That could possibly end very badly for you. That doesn't feel natural. You should be dominating her, not this other guy. And you're just like, shh, be quiet. Maybe we'll just let it happen and I'll get cucked, sort of thing. Or maybe you actually listen to the voice and say, yeah, you know what? You're right. F this, F that. We're getting a divorce. Homie, don't play that game. We're done here. Okay. And then people are going to point and sputter at you and say, well, hold on a second. Why did you guys break up? Why did you leave her? Right.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you guys had something good going. Like, you were a perfect couple and blah, blah, blah. Insert the, you know, the lyrics in the dot. You're like, no, because I know the truth. Right.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I know what you're saying. All right. Thanks. Apparently, I'll let you move on. But
We look like brothers tonight, my man.
I guess I was going to say, you know, keep working on that beard. Pretty soon you'll look like me.
Well, I'm starting to turn into a wizard, man. Like, I've, you know, been trying to trim it on this quarantine situation, but it's getting out of hand. It's all fuzzy and bushy. I got to get my barber back in check.
Yeah, all right, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Thanks.
Peace. All right. Let's see here. Quarantino, you want to hop on, bro? You got a question?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
You're up.
Hey, man. I appreciate your content and, you know, everything you're doing.
Thank you.
And I just had a few questions. So, like, how do you handle the bleakness of the red pill? Because I just kind of got put onto the red pill about a year and a half ago, and I just kind of dove into it and, you know, haven't really looked back since. But I don't know. I guess there's something like in me that's like conflicted with, I guess, the reality of the situation and just dealing with the state of like women nowadays and just kind of dealing with those notions that we was brought up on of having, you know, having a wife and children and all this, you know, type of things.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having kids. I mean, it's perfectly natural to want that. That's part of your DNA. Just like I feel like I want to watch sailing videos now on YouTube, or I want to watch hunting videos, because it's like, you know, I know it's in my blood. It's been there for millions of years. So don't think for a minute that that's wrong. But where the pragmatic part of it comes with, when you're like, okay, everybody's told me to have kids or get married, but I've now come to realize that it's a raw deal for men, and family law is very hostile, and there's nothing in family law that incentivizes women to behave well if you do get divorced. So having, like, your rational, logical mind can then say, all right, lizard brain, I get it. Intuition says, okay, look, you know, you need to have kids, or you need to be with a woman, sort of thing. And you're like, okay, I get it. But your rational mind says, okay, I'm going to set parameters, or I'm going to set limits around the interactions that I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Until I've properly vetted you, you know, over a couple of years, or until I move to a part of the world where I'm not worried about family law, divorce raping me, or whatever the story might be. So there's a balance between what your lizard brain says, you know, between what your intuition says, between what, oh, she's got nice boobies and I like that, or she's got a big round booty and I like that sort of thing. It's like,
you know,
that lizard brain's always going to tell you go. But then your rational mind is going to be like, well, hold on a second, dude. She's got two kids from two different fathers. She's got 50 grand in credit card debt. I've seen Rich's list of 20 red flags, right?
Right.
I'm going to put this in plate status. You know, this is not wifey type of material.
Right. Okay. And like it in a business setting, this is my second question. In a business setting, like when you have employees, because I'm just kind of building on a business that I've started recently. I kind of got some guys who are like dealing with, I guess, self-conscious thoughts and, you know, I guess getting over learning curves, you know, because I'm like an audio engineer. So I do like mixing and stuff with audio. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering how to motivate them, you know, to contribute to the company, because these are guys I'm really close with, but I'm just trying to,
you know, they're not motivated.
I guess it's not even that they're not motivated, but it's more like they're self-conscious and doubting their own ability, you know, to, I guess, learn the business.
Because they think something's going to go wrong, or they're going to burn down the house. Like, I'm a little confused.
I guess it's almost like just like stagnation in acting and going in and actually learning, you know what I'm saying? Like he kind of like watches me on the sideline when I mix and stuff like that. But as far as like trying to apply it and work and make mistakes within the mix and stuff like that, he's not really actively going in and doing that, more so just like being the fly on the wall, watching me do it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's got a lot of interest in it then, right? Because, I mean, if somebody's got like a genuine burning desire for something, they're going to go all in. You know, they're going to want to learn. They're going to take some risks. They're going to make some mistakes. They're going to work late. You know, it sounds to me like you're describing an intern or an early stage employee that I would fire. Okay. Just because I wouldn't have the patience to do that. Because somebody that has genuine burning desire will demonstrate it. They're going to ask what they can do to solve problems. They're going to want to stay late. They're going to want to take on extra projects. They're going to come and say, hey, you know, if I'm done my task for the day, it's 3:30. What else can I do to be useful here, sort of thing?
Right.
You know, that's what guys do that are like A players that want to be irreplaceable in a company. Sounds to me like you're just describing somebody that doesn't have a lot of desire. I mean, the vast majority of there's a big disconnect there, because the way that employers see employees versus way employees see their employer is very different. I did a survey once from months ago, so it'll be hard for me to dig it up to show it to you. Mm-hmm. But most employees think that they do more than the bare minimum. Like their perception is, I have all of these tasks, and then this is the bare minimum line in the sand, and I always do more. I always go above and beyond. But when you survey employers, the results are quite different. Employers take a look at most of their employees, and they see that most of these employees, they don't even do the bare minimum based on what their level of perception is, right? If you're one of the guys that is doing more than what the bare minimum is, then your employer is going to look at you as an A player. So long story short, who cares what they're doing? You don't need to motivate them. You're not their boss, husband, boyfriend, wife, whatever. That's not your job. You know, Your job is mental point of origin. Your job is looking after number one. Okay.
Right.
I brought in my best friend to come and work in my business because he was my best friend, because I didn't want to go at it, you know, basically by myself, because he was fun to be around and we had lots of laughs and giggles and we did lots of cool shit and we rode motorcycles back in the day and blah, blah, blah. Right. Insert reason, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All I did was I just basically went through this process of masturbation for a couple of years and all the other bullshit. And I spent lots of money on a lawsuit and sleepless nights. And I lost a best friend out of it. And I got double crossed and all that. Like, forget about that stuff. The whole point of what we often talk about when we're doing broadcasts like this, when guys call in, it really boils down to the whole mental point of origin thing and putting yourself first. And that's not just with women, but that's with your bros too. And right. If they're not going to toe the line, if they're not going to carry their weight, if they're not going to look for opportunities to be better and do more and have some impact, let them go. Just leave them behind. You know, maybe it's not for them.
Right. Facts.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Yeah. The people that I knew at 25, there's very few of them that I still talk to today. There's maybe like one. Right. Like you're going to find that your circle of influence, as you get better, as you really put the focus on yourself, as you want to, you know, become a better man than what you were at 24 and 23 and 22. There's going to be people that you're going to leave behind because they don't want to do the work. Maybe they subscribe to a belief system that doesn't support success and greatness. And that's okay. You can leave that shit behind. And some people will be left behind. The worst thing that you can do is drag an anchor along with you. You don't need it. What you need is a sail. You need that sail to fill with wind to pull you along. And you only want to allow sails in your life. Right. Anchors, you just cut them loose, you let them go. You know, there's a reason why sailboats pull in the anchor before they set sail, because they need to get rid of the dead weight so they can move along, sort of thing. So if somebody's an anchor, then you got to cut them loose.
All right. And last question here. Say you had $100,000 to invest. How would you use that money in what fields would you take that money and invest it with? And that's my final question.
Well, I'm sitting on 85% cash right now.
Yeah.
So I don't have an answer for you right now.
Okay. Okay.
Waiting for the market to do a proper correction is what I'm looking at.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I mean, like the only assets that I'm holding right now are gold, crypto, and a couple of good stocks that have strong balance sheets that won't dip much.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, appreciate your time, brother, for real.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, bro.
Peace. All right. Brett, I see you in the waiting area. Do you think you can do this real quick, like 5-10 minutes? You got a question? Yeah. You're very low on your audio. Can you speak up? Nah, it's not going to work, bro. Okay, I'm going to pull you out. There was one other super chat here. Constantine, appreciate the reply. I joined, but this count is a non. Think you're right. The root of my issue is worrying about what others think too much. Correct. When you realize how little other people think of you, it's freeing. Thanks for joining, Prashant Kumar. Appreciate that. Guys, if you join the YouTube membership, you get to participate in the chat. I also look for your questions beyond the super chats as well. So appreciate the support. YouTube's pretty hostile towards content creators like me lately when it comes to reach and algorithms and how they treat us. So I think on that note, we're going to wrap up tonight's show. I got to move to private community. So those of you watching that are on the Entrepreneurs Brotherhood, we're going to do that Zoom meeting in about 15 minutes. I'm just going to have to do a quick bio break. But I do have to shout out to channel sponsor before I run, because sliding my finger this way, coopersoap.com, also pinned in the top comment. Turn this a little bit here. We've got the guys from Grondike Soap. Scott's been great to me in the channel. Pheromone infused handmade soap and beard oils. You guys are showering anyway, or you should be if you're going to be going out talking to the girls. You guys always ask, how do I get the girls? Well, first of all, you don't smell like a can of smashed assholes. You clean yourself up. So grab some tactical soap and some beard oil, handmade. Again, coopersoap.com. You can check out coupon code Cooper right there. Get 10% off. And I think that coupon code, actually, if I'm not mistaken, is already pre-applied to that. So that is that. See you guys in the next episode. Keep an eye out on the community tab in your mobile device, because I do put out questions and surveys, and I'll ask you guys for topic suggestions for before the train wreck episodes coming up. So keep an eye open for that. I want to thank you guys for watching. Hit the like button and leave me a comment below if you have an idea for a future before the train wreck episode. Trust your intuition. We'll close up on that note. Your intuition is a finely tuned instrument that works quite well if you're willing to listen to it. And it will detect lies. It will detect deception. It will pick up. It is your spidey senses, okay? So when you get good at believing it and trusting it and honing it, you will do far better off in life. Being able to detect the BS that comes at you from women, from business opportunities, from the people that are going to try to take advantage of you or separate you from your money. Again, there's people out there that are leeches. So you have to understand, draw a perimeter around an inner circle and only let the five most important people in that inner circle and keep an eye on them. Make sure that you vet them for a good period of time. Remember how we say, you know, you're going to vet them for a couple of years if you know before you get into an LTR with a chick. Same thing with people you let in your inner circle. You might be in business with or you might be considering, you know, a business with or investing in. I just put a big investment in a friend's company 4 months ago, and I only did it because I've known him for about 5 years and I've seen him have two exits. And I'm also involved with another business with this guy. So I wouldn't throw my hard-earned money at somebody else's business idea now unless I know, like, and trust them intimately. And when you get better at that, you're not going to go and burn through money, time, resources, heartbreak, you know, any of those things on things that are not deserved of your time. All right, guys. Thanks for watching tonight's show. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.